This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3139 for Thursday, the 13th of August 2020. Today's show is entitled MIDI Sysex. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 21 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Klaatu talks about Sysex functions in MIDI.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
This is Klaatu, and you're listening to Hacker Public Radio, and in this episode, I want to talk about Sysex. Sysex is a subsystem, maybe you would call it, or maybe a language, I don't know, a specification, or actually it's part of the MIDI specification. MIDI, in case you are not familiar with it, is the musical instrument digital interface that arose for synthesizers back in probably the 80s, let's say. I'm kind of being fuzzy about the date because I don't know when the research actually started and so on. But we could say the 80s, generally speaking. And the reason they came up with MIDI was not really for computers as such originally. It was to hook synthesizers to one another. And so you would have, for instance, maybe you might have a synthesizer doing a bass line, and you want that bass line to synchronize perfectly with the synthesizer playing the melody. And you want the melody to sync up perfectly with the drum line, and so on. So in order to make that happen, to ensure that there was no drift in the time of each note being triggered, they needed some way to coordinate that mechanically, mechanically. You don't want a person at each keyboard having to play the part. You want the keyboards to be able to be sequenced and to respond to a central authority for both the notes that it's going to play and the tempo at which it's going to play those notes. So MIDI came about as a way to daisy chain synthesizers together. And it was a daisy chain. You didn't have, as far as I know, like a Y splitter or a hub for MIDI routing. It wasn't like that. You would plug a MIDI cable, which is sort of a glorified XLR cable, if you've ever seen an XLR cable. Big round plug. Plug that into the MIDI out of one of your controller device, whatever that might be. It might be a sequencer, it might be a sampler sequencer, it might be just a dedicated, like a drum machine type thing, as just a sequencer. It could be the sequencer of a keyboard, of something that can also play notes. Whatever it is, plug that from your controlling device, or from one synthesizer anyway, to another, to the MIDI input of another synthesizer, and then you have them synchronized. And you can even control the sounds coming out of that tethered device by switching to a different MIDI channel. So if you've got one controller and, let's say, 16 synthesizers, then you can broadcast different sequences to each synthesizer. Plug each of those synthesizers into an audio mixing board, and the output of their sound, or you mic them, the output of the sound that they are making can be recorded together all at once in perfect synchronization. That was MIDI. That was what MIDI made possible. And it did this with a relatively simple set of instructions. And if you go to MIDI.org, you can go to the MIDI Association and look at the specification for MIDI 1.0, 2.0, whatever you want to look at. You can see what kind of signals they send. You can analyze that as well in your own terminal if you want. You can plug in a MIDI controller, a MIDI USB controller, into your Linux computer and just do a cat of /dev/MIDI, whatever device number it is, and pipe that to something like hexdump, --C, I think it's --canonical is what that stands for, and you'll see all the output of each note that you press on your USB controller you'll see what kind of signals it's sending out. I don't know what good that'll do you, but I mean, you can, in other words, you can see that, and you can also look at the specification and kind of get a feel for what kind of data MIDI is sending across those little wires. Now, when MIDI got integrated or started to be able to interface with modern computers, like with an operating system and so on, I mean, the term computer is getting a little bit difficult to nail down now or then, because I mean, you had these digital synths that were talking in MIDI to one another, sending all kinds of little signals. And it wasn't just notes that they would send. They would send velocity, they would send tempo changes, they would send volume cues, all kinds of signals they could send to one another. So when they started hooking into modern computers, it started to get a little bit interesting, because now we have the legacy MIDI system interfacing with really a system that's robust enough not to really require all of that legacy MIDI stuff. But the point of this episode actually is to praise MIDI and to talk about how great it is that it exists and what it gets us for our continued support. Namely, it gives us a universal language, a vendor non-exclusive language that we can use to talk between musical instruments on the computer and controllers in the physical world. So I've got this MIDITECH controller is the brand name. It's a really good little controller. I'm a big fan of it. I think it's German made. It's metal. A lot of it is metal, which I really, really like. There are sideboards made out of plastic, which I keep thinking I should pry those off and replace them with some really nicely fine-grained wood and polish the wood. I think that would just look absolutely amazing. I just haven't gotten brave enough to pry this thing apart yet, because I really do like it, and I don't have that much confidence in my deconstruction or construction skills yet, but we might get there. Anyway, I've got this nice little controller. It hooks up through USB and MIDI. It's got both. It's got an actual MIDI out and an USB out. And the nice thing about it is that it just, you know, like many MIDI controllers, it just works on Linux. There's no, you don't need to install drivers or anything like that. And this is kind of like that. You can kind of almost take for granted at this point. You know, you can just kind of assume that a MIDI controller, a USB MIDI controller, is probably going to hook up to any computer and send MIDI signals across whatever cable it provides you. That is more or less a safe assumption. I mean, as safe as anything in this crazy, weird tech world where vendors up and decide to do strange things. You know, as much as that is a safe assumption at all, it's a relatively safe assumption in general. The interesting thing is that in some cases, I gather, and I don't know, I can't confirm this, but in some cases, I'm assuming that sometimes the vendors provide drivers for a computer so that the computer knows, I guess, to look out for those MIDI signals, maybe, I'm not really sure, and possibly even to help you program the MIDI device. And that's where SysX comes in. This is going to be different depending on what kind of device you have, because, again, vendors kind of get to do whatever they want to do, so it can be difficult to anticipate what they're going to provide. But just kind of in general, there is a system within MIDI called SysX, which is System Exclusive Signals. Despite the name System Exclusive, that's not talking about like operating system or a vendor or anything like that. It is system exclusive, meaning that it is a segment of the MIDI specification that is reserved for the user to be able to program or to alter the program of their MIDI device. And this could be a number of different functions. I haven't had physical actual hardware devices in so long that I don't exactly remember all of the functions, but for instance, there is a sysx signal for dumping the memory of a device. So if you've got a bunch of custom patches installed in a little triggering device, and you want to dump that configuration, then you could do a sysx command to dump all of that information to something. I don't exactly remember what it was to. You could change the velocity profile of what would happen when you pressed a key. Does the note come on strong and then fade out, or does it come on soft and then ramp up? That sort of thing. You could adjust that sort of thing through sysx. Not all USB MIDI devices have sysx accounted for. They should. If they're USB MIDI devices, then in order to fulfill the MIDI specification, they should have that range of sysx signals that they can, so that you can tell it what you want to do aside from producing notes. And that's, again, that's kind of the idea of sysx, system exclusive, meaning these numbers, these signals are reserved for producing notes. These numbers, the 6x, sysx ones, those are reserved for other stuff, for system related activities. Understood? Okay, so it'll depend on what your controller says. My MIDI tech makes it really pretty simple. You press the shift key, which is a button on the actual device. And I guess I'll try to post pictures of this along with the show. But you press the shift key, and then you're now escaped. You're in command mode or whatever. You know, you're in sysx mode, essentially. You could think of it maybe like the escape key in Vim. It kind of gets you out of normal input, if normal input is producing notes, and it places you into this floaty, detached kind of sysx mode where you're able to give your device some commands. So, for instance, we might say shift, and then we could say change the... Actually, here's one. Assign slider. And I'm looking above the keys on my keyboard, on the musical keyboard. They're handily labeled above them. And you'll see that this is pretty common on a lot of MIDI devices. You'll see the labels above the keys. So I'll assign the slider to 7, and then I'll press enter. The shift key blinks lots of times and sets itself and records the command that I've just provided it. And so now my slider, which is assignable, and it's even labeled assignable slider, now controls the volume of whatever I'm of the channel that it's currently broadcasting on. And that's very useful, as you can imagine. I could assign the slider to several other things too, and there are, in the documentation for this, there's a list of all of the standard MIDI controller signals that I could use as an assignable value for my slider. So for instance, I could assign it to pots and pans by assigning the slider to 10, and then I would just press shift to get into mode, to the shift mode, the sysx mode, assign slider to 1, 0, enter, and now it adjusts pots and pans, which you won't hear because I mixed down all of my HPR to mono, so you wouldn't hear the difference. But you can believe me that that's what signal 10 in this sysx mode means. Now the sysx modes themselves are standardized in the MIDI spec, so I would have to look up what they're using for the assignable slider signal. But there are lots of sysx commands that are not, or the codes that are not assigned. They're not designated for anything, so vendors can use them for whatever they need to use them. But the control change codes are, in addition to being in the documentation for the device, they are also part of the MIDI spec, and you can find them on MIDI.org. So you'll see things like 0 is a bank select code, 01 is modulation wheel or lever, 2 is breath controller, 3 undefined, 4 foot controller, 5 portamento time, and so on. There's 7 is channel volume, formerly main volume, and there's 10 pan, and so on. So a lot of this is standardized, and then some of it is just whatever applies to the vendor's use case. SysX also provides a method of defining what channel your device is actually broadcasting over. So this doesn't come into play much with computers, with modern computers, because they're big and powerful, and they're emulating your synthesizer and the recording unit that you would use to record the synthesizer and the sequencer, and it's probably playing samples and your drum machine. You know, it's got all of that stuff going on, and it's not even breaking a sweat. So of all things, routing a synth plugin within a digital audio workstation application, you don't need MIDI channels for that, in truth. However, you could use them. You could have, for instance, one track in your digital audio workstation broadcasting MIDI channel 1 to a specific synthesizer, and another track broadcasting over MIDI channel 2 to a synthesizer. And in real life, in physical hardware space, you would have had your daisy chain of synthesizers, and you would have played some notes into your controller, or rather into your sequencer, and you would have set that as MIDI channel 1, and maybe you would have known, okay, well, that's the Juno over there, and then this one over here is the Korg over there, and that's on channel 2, and then I'll play channel 3, and that'll trigger some stuff on the Alesis, and then on channel 4, that'll trigger some stuff on the Emu, and suddenly you have a little band going, but none of them are receiving each other's signals. So you've got channel 1 playing your bass line, channel 2 playing your melody, channel 3 doing your drum track. But anyway, you get the idea. So you've got different channels that you can sort of assign different devices to. In the computer, you don't really need to do that so much, but you can with SysX. And again, that would just be whatever trigger key to get into SysX, and then whatever musical note key to get to select your channel. So in my case, it's E, and then there are numbers 1 through 0 on this scale from G up to B. Type in whatever channel I want to assign my controller or set my controller to, hit the enter key, and then I'm broadcasting over a different channel and not one. Now that would be if my computer wasn't listening to anything but one, that could be problematic for me. But as long as I know what I'm doing, that would be fine. So that is more or less all I know about SysX. It's a really handy little built-in system. It is very useful for the way that your controller behaves, especially if you are performing live and you don't want to be leaning over, you know, your laptop, adjusting a bunch of little settings just because you feel like the keyboard itself is too soft to the touch or too sensitive to the touch. And all you want to do is change the sensitivity, but you don't want to go in there to your synth and like adjust the sound that you're making. You don't want to have to fiddle with the envelope and the attack and stuff like that. So it's a controller concern. So you dip into SysX, you tell it to change the velocity curve. You know the velocity curves that are built into your controller, which I think this particular device has 4 different profiles. Yeah, 4 different profiles. 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's a S curve and a sort of a converse and a convex and a completely linear curve, and so you could set that, and then suddenly you're sounding different. Or maybe you want to assign that slider to something different, or you want to assign it to volume and it wasn't assigned before. And there is even a what's called a registration mode on this particular one, as there is usually in SysX. You can basically save your data to something. Now, this happens to have internal memory so that your settings can persist across unplugging and plugging it back in, you know, powering it off and powering it on, which is quite nice. So yeah, it's really useful. It makes your MIDI controller all that much more independent and self-standing, which I really like. doesn't rely on the OS at all. You don't have to fiddle around with the GUIs and stuff like that. It's just all self-contained. And if you use it a little bit, you'll get used to it and you'll grow to love it. So if you're doing a bunch of MIDI stuff, and if you find yourself needing to customize your environment a little bit, look to see if your controller provides for the SysX signals, and try them out. I think you'll like them. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.